Get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
And welcome to the Spirit Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
And Mick and I are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. And on this show, we focus on education. And through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we're going to be discussing a physical materialization seance that we went to at the weekend by a gentleman called Warren Caleb, because we're so excited about it and we want to share it with the world. So it's going to be a little bit different today because Mick is not going to go into trance straight away like he normally does, because he's going to take part in the show to he's laughing now. To tell everybody it's not so good now, is it? You're going to be conscious. You have to go through it like I go through it. Anyway, if you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject tonight, at any time, the toll-free lines are open, and in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227, and in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, I'm afraid it's not toll-free, so in the UK, it's you will have to pay, but it's not too much, believe me, and it's only a quick call, really. So that's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi. I'm Mick Avery, by the way. As well as Spirit's work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific and Thursdays at 1 p.m., Pacific, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, or whatever you would like to do, even if you just want to get some more knowledge and some truth of the world out there, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, as regular listeners will know, each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England and has come to share the wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth, so basically that he can help us. As Sylvie said, this show is going to be way different this week, and actually next week as well, I have to say. The next Thursday show as well, we're really, really excited about, because we're going to have Warren Caleb on live on this show. So first of all, we're going to explain a little bit about the journey that we took last weekend in actually going to see and experience and take part in a Warren Caleb seance. And for those of you who don't know, first of all, Warren is a physical medium. So first of all, we need to explain briefly about the physical mediumship, which he actually creates, along with his spirit team, of course. And the whole point is that this is an extremely rare thing. It's not parlor games. That's the first thing to say. It really isn't. Some of you who are listening to this might think, oh, well, that's just, you know, kind of like repeating stuff from the early 19th century and stuff like that. You know, the thing, kind of things and images that you have in your mind, perhaps, of the Victorian England and actually America, too, because, of course, mediumship actually, in the modern term, actually began in America. But the point is really, oh yeah, and also it is to say as well, of course, there were many very famous mediums from America, actually. And, okay, yeah, I know that there were some frauds too, but there were also some very, very genuine mediums who did a great and amazing amount of work. Now, the thing that's different about Warren, and it's to say here that this is the same with every single aspect of mediumship development. For any of you who are budding, who are wanting to learn certain situations about yourself, perhaps work for the spirit world in some way, you must come to realize that everyone is different. So if you go to somebody's site and you think, oh yeah, I would like to do that, and then you try to copy that, you try to emanate that person, you try to do exactly the same things as they did in their development, and it doesn't work out for you, and you're there struggling year after year thinking, why isn't it working for me? Well, quite simply, it's not working for you because you're a different being. So for Warren, they have they actually got together with him not that long ago, I understand.
What, the spirit world?
Yeah. In respect to this journey. So I think it was quite recent anyway.
We'll find out the details next week.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But basically, we'd like to share with you the experience that we had. I know over the years, we've talked about physical mediumship a lot. We've done numerous shows on the different aspects of physical mediumship. But if you'd like to just explain what physical mediumship is briefly, Nick, and then we'll go on to what happened in Warren's seance.
Okay, so briefly, physical mediumship is to do with ectoplasm, or is to do with some other substance known only to the spirit world at that time to produce physical forms. Now, this may be actually physical forms that you can see, or they may only be able to produce them with absence of light. Now, I know then that might be a little bit difficult for people to actually, get their heads around. Some people are managing to work in red light, and that kind of thing, and a very subdued red light, and maybe do various forms of experiments in red light. And that in itself is a challenge to the spirit team, because if you're working with ectoplasm, it's something which is light sensitive. So there's an inherent difficulty to begin with.
The ectoplasm actually comes from the medium's internal organs.
Yes.
So, we will be talking to Warren next week about how his spirit team specifically work with him. They can use the pancreas and colon and that sort of thing. And basically, a physical medium has specific qualities that other people haven't got. They have an abundance of something that our spirit team, anyway, call quarks and charms, which actually means that they can produce the ectoplasm needed to either make something physical that you can see, hear, feel, touch, and that sort of smell and that sort of thing. So it's a huge subject, absolutely huge subject. And Warren can actually do quite a lot, can't he? He gets direct voice.
Really, the list that this guy can create with his spirit team is just amazing. So what we're going to do is, let me just say as well, the other forms of physical mediumship are deep trance, that's a form of physical mediumship. So too is when you have an ectoplasmic mask on the face.
Transfiguration.
A transfiguration, and you see someone in a very controlled light condition. You see the transfiguration of the face morphing from the person that's actually there, the medium, into the face of somebody else. Now, this form of mediumship is actually pretty strict. It's where the medium himself is tied into a chair, bound and gagged, hand and foot, and is put in the cabinet, what we call the cabinet. So in this case, it's a very light structure that's actually made out of whatever, some tubular material, and draped over with black material, black cloth. This is so that an object to actually attract and concentrate the energy, basically, and also a little house for the medium to sit in as well, and capture that energy.
It captures the love that is given by the people present, which we call the sitters, okay? We call everybody in that situation the circle sitters. They send their loving energy to the medium, and then the spirit world are able to use that loving energy to bring this about. So everything that is enacted in that room at that time is done through love, the energy of love, okay? So
it's absolutely pure and amazing, the level of love that actually is raised and transcended in that kind of environment. So actually what happened then was when we got to this place, this venue, we were actually searched before we were allowed to walk into the circle. Of course, we were you know, told beforehand that we mustn't bring anything into the room. Our coats were actually put in a different room, and the door was closed and sealed up after we'd taken off all our jackets and, you know, car keys and all that stuff. And that was locked into a different room. And then that door was actually sealed up with black tape so that no light or air or anything could come in. The next thing that that happened was that we were, so after each of us was searched, and there were two people searching the entire audience of some 15, I think it was, something like
I'm
that.
I'm not sure how many.
No, it was something like that. And so after we were searched, we were also scanned, and we were scanned using the same kind of gizmo that they use in airports. And I understand that was to make sure that you didn't have anything metal or anything flammable or whatever on you at that time.
Because basically when ectoplasm is being used in physical mediumship, it's very, you can't, it's for a start, it's light sensitive. You're not allowed to touch the ectoplasm or the spirit beings who are there unless they invite you to touch them first, because if there's a shock or anything like that through anybody grabbing the materialized being or any light coming in, it will make the ectoplasm recoil at a vast speed back into the medium's body, and then it can actually do tremendous damage and probably even kill them. So it's very strict, and
that's actually what happened to Helen Duncan, isn't it?
Well,
she was attacked by some policemen, I understand, during a seance, and the ectoplasm coiled back in a reflex action, and she died about 3 days later.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's the point, really. Mm. This is, you know.
And don't forget, folks, you know, if you want to phone up and ask about any of this in a little while, do that, and I'll give you the numbers again in a minute, because we don't, you know, we want you to understand what we're talking about. So anyway, Warren, actually, the medium himself, was searched thoroughly. He was frisked. We looked up his trousers, down his shirt, and he was thoroughly searched as well. And then he went into the cabinet to sit down.
Yeah.
And then he was bound and gagged, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was bound with rope around his ankles. He was bound with a very long rope around his waist, which was then actually left trailing at the back of the cabinet. You've got to remember this, okay? Right? So the rope was left trailing at the back of the cabinet, and it's significant, believe me. And then what happened was he had plastic cable ties, pretty heavy-duty plastic cable ties, strapped through holes in the chair, and this was actually a plastic garden chair type variety. It was more like a lounger, wasn't it, really? Pretty soft and nice, you know, squidgy for him to sit in. And it had two holes in it, and the plastic ties were threaded through the holes, round his arms, and then tied really, really tight. It was also actually over the clothes that he wore, and he wore very loose clothing as well. He had like a tracksuit on, basically.
So he was roped in and he was cable tied in, and then he was gagged, and then he was checked over by volunteers of the Circle Sitters. Mick was one of them.
Yeah, I was one of them, and I also checked the cabinet as well, all around the back and all around the front and all sides to make sure there wasn't anything there. And we, you know, the room had been thoroughly searched as well and checked beforehand.
By everybody.
And thoroughly vacuumed as well.
Mm. And then and then at the end, we have to say, just in case we forget, at the end of this seance, it was all checked again to make sure that he was tied in exactly the same way. In fact, it was more so, as you'll find out in a little while.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So then the lights went out, didn't they? Everybody was sat around in a circle. And what happens in something like this is that basically you sing songs to raise the energy. If you think of when you're positive and happy and jolly, then you have a tremendous amount of your vibration is raised, basically, and you have more energy and love, and everybody's really happy. And this is what enables the seance to run smoothly. Any negativity in this situation would have hindered it, and this is something that can't ever be in any form of physical development seance, whether it's in the home circle or whatever. As we've said on many times on our shows to do with physical mediumship, but I don't want to go over old ground at the moment particularly.
No. So actually, but actually what happened, interestingly, with this one was that, first of all, they played actually two songs which were obviously the key songs for Warren to actually be taken off by his team. You know, they were kind of like songs of familiarity that they obviously played every time that he did that. And that was just kind of like part of the thing. And then after those two songs, we then began singing, didn't we?
Yeah,
and we
that's
sang
right.
along to another CD.
Mm.
And actually, this was actually a random CD that they just picked out of their collection and that he brought with him. And
I'd like to take this opportunity to apologise to Freddie Mercury, actually.
Yes, absolutely. Resoundedly, yes. Yeah, because we made a real hash of one of his songs.
Well, probably most of them, but hey, you know, the lad was there,
Yeah, it was really. And, it was really good anyway, and amazing energy. Very, very quickly, it got really, really cold, didn't it?
It did.
Really cold.
And what actually only seemed a few minutes, and there started to be physical phenomena happening. I think, first of all, there was a loud thud, wasn't there, that shook. It
shook the whole room.
It was somebody stomped on the floor, and our chairs vibrated. You know, it's like, you know, we've landed. It was really great.
Yeah. And then there were some others, weren't there? Some, you know, like with time placed in between the thumps, there were a few more. You know, like they were getting nearer.
it was lovely.
It was really
great.
Good. Yeah.
Then the voices came to speak to us, didn't they?
Yes.
I can't remember now. We had a few expert communicators come. We had Rachel, a little girl that came. Children are very, very often prominent in physical circles because their energy is so bright, and they make everybody feel so happy when they're around, and they just are the life and soul of the party, as it were. So we had a little girl called Rachel come, and a little boy called Tom.
Yeah.
And they entertained us with doing lots of things. People had their socks taken off, didn't they?
Yes, yeah. And that was still in the dark at that point.
It was, yeah.
Remember, okay, friends? So this was all still in the dark at the time.
So
and,
this is materialized spirit children playing with us, touching us, speaking to us, playing with our feet, and just doing all sorts of things. I mean, it was just incredible, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, various times we had to hold hands as well, didn't we, to you know, kind of concentrate the energy and to make it sort of more fluid so that, and raise it so that there was a lot more interactivity so that the spirit world could actually use that energy to help to manifest things, really, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And then, actually, the spirit children, I can't remember which one it was, but played some instruments. There were instruments. This is what we forgot to say. When we got there, we could see that in the middle of the seance circle, there were some instruments. There were some little tom-toms, weren't there?
Yes, a pair of tom-toms. There were drumsticks.
And a what do you call that? It's like pipes. It was like pipes.
No, it had a... It's like a stick flute. Maybe some of you will know that. It has a stick in the end of it, and that's how you make different notes. So it was a stick flute.
Mm.
It didn't actually have... Yeah, I think they just have one hole for the air to go out of.
And anyway, it was absolutely incredible because this spirit child played this instrument along to the music perfectly.
Yes.
And we were all singing along at the same time, but the music, but the flute was a lot louder.
Yes.
I mean, it was really loud.
It was really,
and it was
really
in
loud.
Tune.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Perfectly in tune to every single piece of material, you know, number that they did, and the CD. I mean, it was like one tune after another. Maybe like, shall we say, a verse or a chorus of something, and it was from classical material all the way through to modern day pop material as well. So all kinds of stuff, really.
Okay. So basically, folks, don't forget, now, the medium is unconscious in the cabinet, and the ectoplasm that is taken from him is, shall we say, coated over the spirit beings who have manifested their body with their conscious mind. And they have come out of the cabinet and they are interacting with us. I mean, how amazing is this? This is just something that everybody has to see, even if it's only once in their lifetime, you know. It's a form of mediumship that just it just addresses and puts so many more questions in your mind. And it just is so compatible. It just sort of complements every other form of mediumship. It doesn't matter what you're into. It's just absolutely phenomenal.
Yes.
So what happened then?
Really kind of blows your head, really. Well, what happened then was, I think that was when Yellow Feather came.
Mm.
And Yellow Feather actually is kind of, I think, one of the principal guides of the team. He came with the view of actually beginning an experiment, didn't he? He said a few things.
Oh, yeah, he was very entertaining.
Really entertaining.
I woke up
great.
The next morning laughing my head off thinking about some of the things that he said. Because, you see, folks, although it's done with love and it's a very serious thing and you know, it's nothing that is, like I say, it's not parlor games, but you have to keep the vibration at a certain level. So you either keep singing or you keep laughing. You know, and it just helps it to go with a swing. You know, we don't want to listen to spirits coming back, you know, tearing us off a strip every time they come through because, I don't know, with the mess we're making of the world or whatever. I mean, they are the people that they were. And, you know, why should they be any different? It's just wonderful. So, like I say, we had some loved ones come through to talk to people there and that sort of thing.
And that was later on.
We did have some eminent minds come through. But that's another thing that happens in a circle situation like this. It's private, it's personal, and it's not something that you talk about because it's a bit like if you imagine going for a reading, you wouldn't want everybody knowing your reading or your messages that you got from your loved ones. It's a private, a very intimate situation. Okay, so it's absolutely,
Yeah, just brilliant anyway.
Yeah.
So the first actual real experiment upon, after the musical instruments to do with light was actually done by Yellow Feather. And what he actually did, now picture this, okay, Sylvie and I were actually sitting at the opposite end to the cabinet. So we were actually sitting opposite the cabinet where Warren was actually strapped into the chair and gagged. So what happened was that Yellow Feather actually came round. He picked up a plaque, which was a wooden plaque, and I've still got it, actually. Thank you. He picked up a wooden plaque about 6 inches by 5 inches. So this was a piece of wood that had been coated in luminous paint, okay? And he picked up this plaque, and gradually, of course, it actually shone in the light, in the absence of light. It shone very loudly, very brightly, and I could see, we could all see very distinctly four fingers gradually moving onto the plaque itself. So obviously then this was actually a light-sensitive ectoplasm that was creating these fingers, and then it went actually all the way around the room. As I said, now the sitters were actually sat around the outer edges of the room. Okay, that's perhaps something that we didn't say to begin with. So the middle of the floor is actually left empty, okay? So he actually came round to our side, our end of the room, and he then said, "Oh well, I expect that you think that I'm holding this with my thumb, don't you? You know, because there were four fingers only." And he said, "Well, I'm, you know," and then he actually brought his thumb as well onto the plaque as well. So then you would think, "Oh, okay, maybe he was holding it with his other hand." And then he asked me to stand up and to actually place my hand on top of his hand and feel his fingers. And this was something, so I did this, I stood up and I began just very, very gently, because you have to be really, really gentle with this. I was just feeling the actual tissue of his fingers. And you know what, folks, I could actually feel the muscles of his fingers. I could feel the bones, the joints of his fingers, where the actual bone joints were of all of the fingers. And then I had my hand completely covering his hand, and then he put his other hand on top of my hand. And
who's holding the plaque?
Yes, who was holding the plaque? And the plaque was still underneath us, and everybody could see this. I mean, it was really, really, truly tremendous. And then after a few minutes, I was asked to sit down again, and then he gave me the plaque. But he actually did this in a really cool way as well. He actually dropped he lowered the plaque to the floor and put it in between my feet.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. Yes, he placed it there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, it's just absolutely incredible. So what happened then?
And then I think, didn't they begin, then we did a lot more singing after that to get the energy, keep the energy vibrant. And then I think they started to do the light experiments.
Yeah, well, there was also the trumpet.
Oh, yes.
A thing called the trumpet that I've explained before about, and that had a luminous strips on it. It's like a cone-shaped, sort of a bit like a witch's hat, really, with luminous strips on it. And that was flying around the room and being banged on the ceiling and all sorts of things like that.
It was stuck up on the ceiling at one point.
It was,
too,
yes,
wasn't it?
It was. And then the lights went, and then we started doing the experiment with in the red light and the white light situation, wasn't it?
Yes.
We don't have to be
right.
Specific
because
going on. But
yeah.
It was just, I mean, and this is where it gets really, really clever stuff. This is really pushing the envelope. Because, like I say, ectoplasm is light sensitive, and this is something that is really quite dangerous. And they've really come a long way with this by being able to show materialized physical materialization, spirit beings
in white light,
so that you can actually see them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
This is what we saw.
Yeah. So what we and so what happened was they had a light box which was kind of like a shoe box, and it was just face down on the ground, and then they just allowed a little light come out. It wasn't direct light. It was like infused light, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Well, I don't really know how they did that. I wasn't really looking specifically,
yeah.
But...
So anyway, it was quite a lot of light that actually came into the room.
It was.
And,
we could see the materialized body right up until up to the chest, I think it was, wasn't it? Up to the...
No, up to the shoulders.
And
up
I, well, we could see the silhouette of the head as well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Yellowfeather looked about 7 foot tall.
Yes, he was huge, absolutely enormous, yeah. And we could also, of course, see each other as well across the room. That's the important thing, I think.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
And so they did various experiments within the circle of sitters, but now to one end of the room, the chairs, because it was like just 15 people, so it didn't actually cover the entire room. So we covered about, I suppose, just over halfway, didn't we, where the chairs were. And so at one point, the spirit people actually, one of them ran out behind us, all the way around behind us. That's kind of like in a little weeny weeny gap between the wall and the chairs around the window side. And actually, we could see the spirit being
behind us,
glowing like a kind of a smoky bluey white figure. And you could see their clothes and stuff as well. Mm. And Yellowfeather was wearing trousers and stuff, wasn't he?
He was kind of white, moccasin type.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was all white.
Yeah. And actually the medium wasn't,
The medium was actually wearing a black tracksuit, so it wasn't anything to do with him. After that,
I mean, all of the time, we can't really do it justice with the amount of activity that went on
in
conversation with him.
Hang on. The one guy, he was banging a chair as well, wasn't he? Going across the room with a chair, hopping a chair across the room.
Mm.
That was pretty loud.
I think one of the most memorable moments of it was when Yellowfeather asked a few ladies if they wanted to dance the music that was on quiet. That was lovely. I mean, dancing with the spirit. I was one of them.
Yes, honestly, but
it was a lady danced with him first, and she was a tall lady, and she had dark trousers on, and you could see that she had dark trousers on against his white trousers with the ectoplasm.
Yes.
That was quite something.
Yes, and they danced in the middle of the room. You know, I mean, everyone could see it.
Mm,
absolutely fantastic, amazing.
Just gentle back and forward,
yes.
And little twirls. You know. And like I say, she must have been 6 foot, and he was towering over her.
Yeah.
So, and then I had a little dance, and then somebody else did. And
yeah,
I mean,
he was talking all the time, wasn't he?
He was talking all the time.
Yeah.
Except I couldn't find my way back to my seat afterwards.
Yes, I had to lead you back to your seat.
Yeah.
But that, in a sense, is kind of like how disorientating, you know, for a human physical person. It could be, you know, if like taken out of their chair and then getting to do something.
Mm.
So, you know, it's another kind of mark really of how spirit are able to completely understand the whole situation of the room and how everything, where everything is placed. Because I mean, don't forget as well, there were musical instruments all over the floor
and
no one stepped on anything. I mean, it was amazing.
It was
absolutely amazing.
And the love that came from these spirit communicators was just, you know, it was just lovely. It was just heavenly. So this is what we wanted to share with you tonight.
Yes.
And basically, if you want to ask us any questions about this, I know that it's something that is quite very new to most people in the States. And it's something, don't dismiss it. It's not something of the past, and it really is something that is just so beautiful. And just to even understand it and learn a little bit more about it, and it makes you realize that we are so small and tiny, and that the world doesn't revolve around us little human beings. You know, there's just so much more out there, and I think that's what physical mediumship it proves, really. Obviously, physical mediumship in itself isn't going to be something that changes the whole planet's thinking, but it's something that is complementary to all of the other forms of mediumship, you know, to make you think, that makes you think, wow, you know, I've got to take a look at myself here because there is so much more to life than meets the eye. So if you've got a number, a question rather, that you'd like to ask, Gregory's going to be coming through in a minute, and he will answer maybe a few more of your scientific questions if you have them, or if you just want to listen because it's maybe, you know, totally absorbing and so interesting to you that you might want to just listen this week. But anyway, if you do have a number, we'd love to, a question. It's free phone in the US, and that is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international calls, and that includes the US, the UK, is 001-530-876-3222. But that's not toll-free, I'm afraid. So, anyway, I do believe Gregory is with us.
Hello, my dear Faith.
Hi.
What's up and light, my dear Faith?
Welcome.
What's up and light.
So, well, what do you think, then, of all this?
What do I think,
well, yeah,
my dear Faith?
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is so wonderful to be able to know that there are people dedicated enough to be able to continue their work unabated under extreme pressure, and who are still pushing the envelope of reason and the envelope of physical matter to the point where our two worlds truly meet. That is the most profound part of this whole situation, is that when you are perhaps invited to attend a physical seance, but particularly when one is invited to something such as this, or that you have the chance to go to something such as this, it is that you are going to be entreated by the spirit world in a very physical way that you will never, perhaps, ever have the chance to experience again, unless, of course, you actually go through an extreme amount of development, or that you actually have that aspect as a natural gift of spirit. The point is, I understand that this is something of which had been a purely natural aspect of this individual. And it was, I understand, something which their spirit team came together. Well, actually, I understand that they were together before this actually happened. So it meant that they were once he was actually, Warren was actually in the right place at the right time for this all to come about, so that he could actually begin that process of development. It was carried on in spite of the thoughts and feelings, maybe perhaps, of others.
Oh, it's never easy. So you're saying that he knew his spirit team in the spirit world before he came here to have a physical life?
I am saying that some of the relationships were already known within the spirit team. Not necessarily that Warren already knew them, but that this was something, it doesn't just happen overnight. It's something which is actually brought together over a period of time, not necessarily prior to that person's lifetime experience, because not everything is written, of course. As it is, you have to allow for the facets of free will thinking and free will attitudes and relationships with other people in physical life. There are no hard and fast rules over any of it. And it just comes to reassure everyone, in a sense, that with the very great beauty and intense love of their own group who are working with them in this developmental process, it means to say, of course, it's an ongoing experience. And every single time will be another blessing upon the last. And a further blessing will be entreated upon others who come to then witness it, and who then alter the dynamic, change the energy, give their love to that circle environment as well. And what better way to bring true perfected harmony into the lives of so many on your side of life. Because it's a very difficult thing to do. Quite, some might say, even quite a lonely road in that respect.
Yes, absolutely.
But one that is always full of an intensity of love.
Yes, I think the dedication to develop physical mediumship is quite something, really. It's not something that's taken on lightly, and it's a leveller, wouldn't you say? I mean, where does physical mediumship fall into the rest of the, shall we say, mediumship skills that we have on this planet?
Well, the point is, I would have to say to begin with, that, of course, most people actually acknowledge aspects of their mediumship skills, perhaps being a clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, perhaps to do with healing or whatever. But healing is an issue of emotional love. Healing is an issue of creating love within the well of self and moving it towards someone else. That is the true art of creation of love. So what you are experiencing in physical mediumship is actually the ultimate issue of love that can be attracted to one single being or to a spirit team who actually wish to rescind that energy with the very presence of themselves in a very physical way, to bring proof, to bring physical images, to bring physical sounds. Direct voice, of course, is an issue as well.
Yes, we haven't really talked about that.
Well, it has to be that you have direct voice. After all, in this state, Warren is actually gagged. So it's, unless he's a very good ventriloquist and can throw his voice into minute spaces and particulates of the room, it needs to say that the direct voice is actually with, of course, the spirit of Yellow Feather. The direct voice is approximately just about where his head is, or would be.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation then is that you actually experience the whole and true being.
And if you, for people that don't know what a voice box, a direct voice box is, can you explain that? I know we've
Yes, well, briefly, it's basically an ectoplasmic voice box, which is taken either from a pattern, as a pattern from the medium initially, and then is altered depending upon what gender it is that may be speaking, or perhaps it is still the male voice as a pattern from the medium, and it may take several years, or perhaps many years, to develop that aspect of individuality so that the voice box is actually able to then be so that when a female comes, it's actually a female voice, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But these are just degrees, really. It's not a mark of the development to say, oh, well, this has reached this far. It's still an amazing feat to actually be able to produce an ectoplasmic voice box, which is then remotely sourced away from the medium and actually is then held by a sort of umbilical cord, I suppose, to the medium. And that will depend on whereabouts the ectoplasm is actually coming out from, whether it's from the nose, mouth, ears, eyes, rectum, or wherever. You see, some people, for example, if they are using, perhaps they're using trumpets or something like that, as you have already explained, it may well be that it's the use of ectoplasmic rods, which come out from the chest or from the stomach area through the skin. And this also is a form of ectoplasm. It may well be that the rods actually come out from some other orifice, but actually is the point of focus is from somewhere like the bottom of the sternum or the top of the stomach or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really just to do with actually the point of energy. So you understand that when you are giving love, as we have often said, when you are giving love, it's coming from the solar plexus. is coming also from your emotional field, from your chemical reactivity to do with how you present yourself as a being giving love to somebody else. Exactly the same as you would in an emotional relationship situation perhaps, but you are concentrating this in this kind of scenario, this kind of event. There are very many different experiments that this team are actually putting together and continuing to develop. Mark my words, Ben, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. And it has, I understand, going to move in many different directions, in many different ways of transfiguration from what it now is seen as, in a sense, just the egg.
Mm. Well, yes, the platform, that they've created, the grounding for limitless things, really, haven't they?
Because they're all extremely difficult to do. The man walking outside of the circle environment is extremely difficult.
Mm.
That was some 25 feet or more away from the medium.
Mm.
And outside of the circle of love environment, the safe environment, which had been created by the circle, the original home circle.
Mm. Absolutely, yes.
Mark. So it's
a few hours long. I forgot to say that too.
Yes,
but I can't remember what I was going
but
to say.
But that's also, though, my dear friend, actually a measure of the contact between the medium, the spirit world, and the profound state that had occurred with the sitters involved as well.
Mm.
So it is to say that as that love and that generation of love continued unabated with no negativity, it meant to say that the whole situation scenario was built up. And it may even at times during physical seances in that way with even a different audience, the more people that you have in that kind of group, the greater the love experience. Also, I am well aware that the more tendency there may be for someone to be negatively disposed toward it.
Mm.
Or perhaps have a negative vibration towards it. But the more people that you have giving their love to the medium and concentrating that, the more worthwhile it will be and the more...
They can bypass that.
Yes, absolutely, suppress it, in fact.
Mm.
It won't actually matter to that group the more that they solidify this very direct form of beautiful communication.
Because, you know, you're bound to get people there who wonder if it's real or not because it's so real, if you know what I mean. It's a bit like, well, you're shooting yourself in the foot, you can't win, really, can you? Because it's so real, it is real, that they think, oh, it can't be real, maybe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it must be an illusion,
that's just like a real person.
Yes,
hello.
So I must be just conjuring up it out in my mind. Yes. I understand that.
Yeah.
But the point is the interactivity, the patting. You all had your heads patted
we
and
did.
Things like that, and poked and potted, and in a very playful way.
Mm.
Yes, a very beautiful, beautifying experience for the soul, for your spirit, for your contact with your spirit as well. Don't forget, Ben, that every single one of the cities there present are having their spirit lifted. Their contact of their physical state and their spirit is becoming more permanent, more obvious to them. So they will be able to interrelate and react with their spirit and their various spirit gifts. The worst thing that anyone can do is then, say, judge themselves by what they've just seen.
Mm.
You see, that's another situation, really. Don't ever judge yourself by what you witness around you. Judge yourself by what you create.
Mm.
That is the key to your life. If you want to create happiness, if you want to be happy, create happiness. If you want to create beauty in your life, then do it. Bring it about. Don't just sit there thinking, I wish I could create beauty, and mulling over it. If you are an artist, you will continue to paint. You will continue to draw. You will continue to expound upon that which you have already done in the past.
Okay, well, I'd like to go back to, I know, I hate talking about him when he's not here. I look forward to speaking to Warren himself next week, but
Ethereal spirit.
developed, I'm not sure how quickly, but he did develop quickly, this physical gift,
yes.
Mediumship gift that he had, and the wonderful phenomena that we have witnessed.
Yes, but it was already there, though.
Okay, well, this is what I'm going to get to, for people who are wondering why that can be possible, because I know you and your instrument developed quite quickly, too, in comparison to many other people that do trance mediumship.
Yes, so, why
was it?
Because that aspect is already present. It's just really being able to manipulate, and that doesn't mean to say they don't have free will. It's just a matter of bringing a person into alignment of the possibility. This is a possibility. Here, give this a go. Understand that if you can create this, then it might be something that you might enjoy. I know that for a fact, our dear friend here was quite reluctant.
Yes, he was, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically it's down to, you know, being handed the opportunity, being told that you have the gift, and really being dedicated and going for it. You see, in the old days, you used to, you know, people wait, and a lot of people still do this. They sit once a week, and then they wonder, and then they say that it takes, you know, 10 years to become a physical medium or whatever, but they're only sitting once a week. Well, if you sit every day and then maybe have maybe do other things once a week as well with more people.
Yes, or other aspects of your business.
However you do it, it's like, well, yeah, you know, are you going to live long enough to actually be able to create all this? I mean, I don't think so. The days are gone when you only sit once a week for spirit. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. The point is, if you yourselves are going to actually realize the gifts that you have, truly, truly, truly realize the gifts, the beautiful gifts of spirit that you have, that you were born with, that you were spirit before you ever had a physical existence, that you have always been spirit at the point of which you moved away from that which is the creation force of all life. This is your opportunity. This life is your opportunity. Move with it. It's not a gamble. Take your opportunity into your hands and deal with it. Expand upon it and create for all of us to see and witness.
How do you find out that you're a physical medium? And what does it? I mean, I did mention about the charms and cork.
Yes, but that is really to do with just one element. It may well be that, for example, the physical medium actually has a great deal of serotonin in his physical
mm-hmm.
body,
mm-hmm.
and that is the arbiter, that is the way forward.
You've also said before that probably approximately only one in a million people have this ability.
Yes.
Genetic ability.
Yes, then that's true.
Mm.
Absolutely.
So that would
still
be
holds.
So that would be another reason why there's not that many, because although that still could be a lot of physical mediums, you're not necessarily going to find out because you might not be in on that pathway.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, it is to say that not all physical mediums become unconscious. It may well be that the situation is to develop direct voice, similar to Leslie Flint, perhaps.
Mm.
And Leslie Flint never, ever became unconscious.
Mm.
He actually was completely fully conscious and interacted with the various spirits who actually came and used his physical state and the spirit interactivity between himself and the spirit world. And actually, he was actually able to have a conversation with, I believe, up to 8 or 9 people at any one time.
Mm. And I've only got a couple of minutes left.
Yes.
But you can create a physical phenomena without actually having a physical medium in your presence necessarily,
well.
Can't you, as well?
Yes,
if there's enough
true.
Love and harmony in the circle.
Yes, enough love in the circle, enough harmony, enough presence to actually say, we are all together in this, and not to think in negative terms when someone gets something beautiful creating in their life, that you say well done and praise them for it and thank you to the spirit world for providing that activity for you to witness. Isn't that a better attitude for you to take than to admonish someone and say, I despise them, or I'm I I I, I in fact, are showing your jealousy by creating something of extreme negativity towards someone else in the beautiful gifts that they create for all of us to witness on both sides of the divide.
Do you think if there were more physical mediums working on, you know, a larger scale, as in not just in having specific people, the same specific people come into the seances all of the time because of, you know, and it is because of safety, a lot of it, isn't it? Obviously.
Well, yes. But there just has to be a different situation, a different safety situation developed for this kind of program, I suppose, to come out to a wider audience.
Mm, that would be absolutely amazing because obviously, you know, people in other parts of the country, I know, you know,
yes.
Australia, maybe New Zealand,
yes,
the UK are able to witness it, but even then it's very rare.
Yes, and film, of course, as well.
Yes.
Is something else. That's a modern medium, and I know, yes, everyone could say, well, a film can be doctored and all of that. You have to take this situation as truth and read when it is there in your face.
Well, we look forward to speaking to Warren next week.
Absolutely so. With love and light, my dear friend.
Thank you.
Love and light.
Thank you.
God bless upon your pathway.
Mm. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. We'd just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and Warren Kaler's website, which is, she says, scrabbling for her piece of paper. I think it's warrenkaler.co.uk, okay? If you don't know it, then come to me and I will give you that, all right? So anyway, my name is Sylvie Avery. Thank you for listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.